Dharma Talks by Mogik Sayadaw. Appendix 1. On Mind Development. In the Dharmapada, verse 183, the Buddha replied to Ananda on the instructions given by all the Buddhas was not to do evil, to cultivate merit and to purify one's mind. This is mind development for all humans, as training in sila, samadhi and panna. In the Theravada tradition, we see more meditation systems than other traditions. One of the main reasons is Theravada bhikkhus have the strong tradition of study the Dharma, Vinaya and their commentaries. There are some Western scholars rejected the commentaries as not authentic. An internationally well-known Burmese teacher asked this question, how many commentaries have they studied before? Asian Buddhist tradition has a very long history with commentaries. It even can be said as it started from Ven. Mahakakana. This tradition was handed down by teacher to teacher. It also had a long history of study and practice. The Buddha Dharma always requires a teacher to teach the Dharma and its practice, unlike other worldly knowledges. We can only decide whether a teaching and system is authentic or not by its practice and results, not by thinking and its proliferation. Among the Theravada Buddhist countries, there are more meditation systems in Burma than in other countries because of the strong tradition of study and practice. When talking about meditation systems, we should not look down on them. These were not coming from thinking and speculation of the suttas and its commentaries or not mere theories. These systems were the outcomes of study and practice with a lot of trials, and not easy to come by. I can give a lot of examples for these systems and its teachers. The original teacher of the well-known Mahasi system was not Mahasi Sayadaw, U. Sobhana, whose teacher was Thathum Jetavun Sayadaw U. Narada, 1868-1955. Sayadaw U. Narada was a well-known scholar monk of his time and wrote 22 textbooks. In the beginning he did not know how to start the practice. So, he had to ask a practiced monk for advice. The monk only said to him for looking in the Satipatthana Sutta. He read the Sutta and its commentaries about Satipatthana and did the practice with a lot of trials. After his practice and started to teach people, but most of them had doubt in the system, because it was so simple and direct. It took some time for him to get people to try on his practice. Now Mahasi system is becoming well known around the world. Even we can find some records on children, young boys and girls, had good results with this system, not the 21st century children who are very restless. So, the practice does not result from conceptualizing and playing games of thought, which is the way of the world. The following two examples are very good evidences. The first teacher was Soon Loon Sayadaw U. Kavi, 1877-1952, who had very little education and a farmer. One time he was listening to the Dharma discussions of among some men for 3 to 4 days, but mostly he did not understand them, including Abhidhamma and Anapanasati. One night, Yu Ba San, a disciple of Ledi Sayadaw, came to his house and he asked him the following questions. Q. Yu Ba San, I am illiterate, can I practice your Dharma? Literate or illiterate is not a necessary thing. The important thing is having true belief and really doing it. You need sadha, faith, and viriya, perseverance. Q. Then, please tell me how to do it. Just noting the in-breath and out-breath. After Yu Ba San answered Yu Kyo Din's questions, i.e., Soon Loon Sayadaw's lay name, and he went into the groups of people for Dharma discussion. These Dharma discussions were done at Yu Kyo Din's house. With that much instruction, Yu Qiordin started to do his practice. After practicing for 2 or 3 days, his in-breath and out-breath became smooth. Then his friend Yu Shui Lok came to his house. Yu Shui Lok had practiced Satipatthana Bhavana before. He told him about his practice. Yu Shui Lok corrected him by saying, "You have to follow with knowing." Yu Qiordin asked him again, "How to follow it with knowing?" He answered him very easily as, "Just knowing, knowing. What will happen if I follow with knowing? You'll get merit. I'll do it if I get merit." In this way, Yu Qiordin did the practice diligently with strong determination and faith. He also did his daily chores with sati and knowing. His daily chores were finished smoothly and easily with mindfulness practice. His samadhi developed and seeing light nimitta. With sati, samadhi and viriya, he observed the physical sensations of touching, i.e., patavi, earth element, in his whole body with his daily activities. Even he could make the meditation dictum on the practices, touching, knowing, sati, Yu Kavi became a Tevija Arahant as a novice after 4 months with the practice. Sayadaw's realization of Dharma came by each stage exactly a month each. In the 3rd month he became an Anagami and could not live with his wife Dor Shui Yi, so he asked permission from her to let him ordained as a novice. But his wife did not let him go. At last, with the help of the village folks, he became a novice. Soon Lun Sayadaw's arahantship was confirmed by some famous scholar monks and practicing monks by testing his knowledge with the suttas and commentaries. All these difficult and profound questions were not easy to answer by even a scholar monk. Sayadaw was illiterate about the texts, but he had the wisdom, panna, to answer these profound questions on practice, jhanas and nibbana, in ease with common language. The second teacher was Thien Gu Sayadaw Yu Okatha, 1913-1973. At a young age he had no interest in learning. He was married 4 times and living his life as an alcoholic, a gambler, a thug and a bandit leader. He committed some crimes and had been in prison. One time while living in Rangoon with one of his wives, he had a chance to read the biography of Soon Lun Sayadaw and his practice. The book belonged to his wife who practiced meditation. He thought, "If he could become an Arahant, then if I practice, I will also become an Arahant." At the age of 46, he and 2 others went to rob a house, and he was attacked by a man in it with a long knife. His head was hit with the knife, and they ran out for their lives. He was very lucky because of wearing a hat, which saved his life. With strong samvega, he took medication for his head injury for 7 days, and then took the book on Soon Lun Sayadaw's life and his way of practice to the village monastery. He observed the 9 precepts and shut himself up in the room of the monastery Sima for practice. Sima is a monastery building for ordination purpose and reciting of monastic rules. He made the following strong determination: either I die or Kalesa dies. For modern man it may be the opposite, please let me and Kalesa not die. See the global pollutions and severe climate problems. He did the Anapanasati by observing the in-breath and out-breath at the tip of the nostril with continuous sati. He was quite often falling down to the ground from a sitting position due to the intense and unbearable painful feelings that arose. It may be related to his negative kamas. Without losing sati and with unremitting effort, he contemplated each of the Vedana with patience and endurance to their ending. On the 6th day, the 12th of September 1959, realized the first path knowledge. realized the third path knowledge on the 15th of March 1960 with the Divine Eye. He ordained as a monk on the 12th of March 1961 and became Arahant on the 20th of May 1961. See Soon Loon Sayadaw's Way of Practice in Jack Kornfield's book, Living Buddhist Masters. From the three teachers above, we see the importance and benefits of the system, especially for someone who has no teacher to guide him. Also, we can select any one of the systems to suit our nature and interest. Even though we cannot find any one of the systems exactly in the suttas, it does not mean that it is not authentic. It was also not possible for a Buddha to teach all the possible systems in his teachings, but we can find general outline and view in these systems, i.e., a true system. Each teacher taught his students according to his practice and experiences. Only the Buddha knows how to teach each person according to his own character and maturity. The other people find a teacher or study the suttas and existing systems to find out their ways with trials. The Buddha Dharma is simple and direct but profound. Only with a qualified teacher, skill in Pariyatti and Patipatti, having both skills, to understand them clearly, e.g., Ledi Sayadaw. This was one reason we can see young yogis, i.e., children, in the Buddha's time and even today. There were some young yogis' records in Burmese systems. The records of the illiterate teachers and illiterate yogis support the important role of a teacher. Here I am not exaggerating on any meditation systems. There are some people who look down on systems and reject them. Meditation systems are unavoidable for most people. They need it. Even there are learned monks who do not know the practice. The meditation systems of Burma and Thailand are well known in both Asia and the West. But they do not know each other very well because of the differences in their modes and ways of practice. The Burmese systems were based on the suttas and commentaries and the Thai on the suttas. Most of the Burmese systems were discovered by the monks, and very few by laymen, e.g., Anagam Saya Thet, who was Sayagyi U Ba Khin's teacher. Saya Thet's life was quite interesting. His main teacher was Ledi Sayadaw, but he had studied and practiced under many teachers of his time. Much of the Thai tradition is associated with forest monks. What I know from the Thai forest tradition, they did not pay much attention to the commentaries, but they had some knowledge about the suttas. Some Thai forest monks thought that without jhana samadhi and insight was impossible. I do not know how many Burmese know about the Thai forest tradition vice versa. Some years ago, I had met a well-known Abhidhamma teacher in Burma. He was a lay Buddhist. He showed me a small booklet, the English translation of Ajahn Chah's talk, and made a critical comment. I thought he did not find any evidences of the suttas, commentaries and Abhidhamma in it. Then I responded him by referring to Vibhu Sayadaw's teaching and system. People who know Sayadaw's teaching will understand what I mean. It was very simple. The best way to justify any teaching and system is only by practice, its result and time. Inauthentic Dharma will disappear very quickly and cannot last long. Mogik Sayadaw's talks are quite unique. By listening many times with contemplation, it can lead to dispassion with the khandhas and the external world. A Dharmakataka has this quality to teach people, and this was also mentioned by the Buddha. It was like listening to the teachings of the Buddha and his great disciples. There were some monks who had learned and were trained under Mogik's teachings and since became meditation teachers to teach others. Each teacher had a different style, but the perspective and rules were the same. There are also some misinterpretations to Sayadaw's talks. Some think Sayadaw's system was pure Satipatthana practice like the Mahasi system, i.e., Sukha Vipassana. Sayadaw himself never gave a complete system and guidance as Mahasi system. He was pointing the way and it processed generally with many talks based on suttas, commentaries and from his own wisdom. From the many talks we can know the overall view of his insight practice. Here I want to present the meditation instruction of Sayadaw Panananda's from his talks, but not a complete translation and only a general outline. It seems to me the teaching is very clear and easy to practice. Anyone who is interested can give it a try. Dharma Talks by Mogik Sayadaw. Appendix 2. Vipassana Bhavana. By Sayadaw Panananda. Talk 1. It is important to have the right view on the meditation object, i.e., one of the Satipatthana object, Kaya, Vedana, Citta, Dharma. Following with the talk, you will know what it is. How to relate to the object, Aram or Aramana. One, do not let it become permanent view, Nikha Ditthi. Two, do not let it become a not-existing concept, Abhavapanati. During the contemplation, becoming Nikha Ditthi means instead of seeing Anicca, impermanent, the yogi sees the existing object, Nikha, permanent. During the contemplation, becoming not-existing concept means the yogi contemplates on the not-existing object. The practice is not developing because of wrong contemplation. First, using the Anapanasati, developed the Vipassana Samadhi, observing the breath coming in and going out around the nostril. First exercise to find out your touching point of the breath. Feel the sensation there without any concept. It will become Samatha practice with the concepts. After getting Samadhi, when observe the whatever arising Dharma, phenomenon, it must be free from Nikha Ditthi and do not become a Bhava concept. For example, when Dukkha Vedana arises, and it is not vanishing because of the continuous concept, Santatipanati, in the yogi's mind. Another factor is the concept of solidity, Ganapanati, stuck in the yogi's mind. Therefore, the yogi cannot cut off the continuous process of the concept, Santatipanati. Therefore, without seeing Anicca directly and noting at it as Anicca, Anicca, etc., is wrong. Because the yogi is noting the arising Dharma, that it becomes Nikha, permanent, because only seeing the arising and not passing away. It becomes a Bhava concept means after the arising Dharma passes away and the yogi observes it late or only knowing it after the reflection and not in the present moment. Therefore, it becomes a Bhava concept, i.e., not seeing it as really exist. The yogi must see the arising Dharma from its existence to non-existence. This is what Mogik Sayadaw mentioned very often in his talks as Anicca, Magga have to be fit together. The point here is during the contemplation should not see the place and its form, e.g., the pain in the leg. With the place and its form will become Nikha Ditthi. After it passing away for some time and contemplate will become a Bhava concept. Both of them are unwise attention, ayoniso. Nikha concept and a Bhava concept have connection to each other. Talk 2. The yogi has to understand about the two kinds of knowing, the normal or common knowing and the knowing with contemplation. First, do the exercise by contemplating at the nostril with the in-breath and out-breath. This is normal knowing of the object, and the yogi will feel the sensation at the nostril. After some time he will know the nature, sabhava, of the object, here it is rupa, a form or the four elements, and without aware of the nostril. and then whatever object arises in the body, follow it with contemplation. Here are three stages for knowing the object to determine a place, here nostril. To know the nature of the object, i.e., sensations, without the concept of the place, here the concept of nostril. After developing the second stage, the yogi has no difficulty to contemplate wherever the object is arising without the concept of the places, e.g., leg, arm, body, etc. From then on, with the contemplation, the yogi discerns the mind-body process. For example, the physical sensations appear at the nostril is form, rupa. Knowing of the arising sensations is mind, citta, etc. Talk 3. Sayadaw talked about the simile of spider meditation. It seems to me it was from the Melindapana. In a sutta there was a simile how to catch a lizard which is hiding in an earth mount with six holes. We experience the internal and external phenomena, dharma, from the six sense doors, i.e., eye, nose, mind doors. Among them the mind is the main knowing. The mind door or base is at the heart. It was like the center of the spider web. A spider stays at the center of the web, quietly waiting and watching any insect caught up in any part of the web. In the same way, the yogi's mind stays at the heart to observe whatever arises in the body. Sayadaw continued to talk about the differences between wisdom knowing, panna, and consciousness of knowing, vijnana. The mind at the heart observes any phenomenon arises in the body will know it vanishing. This is panna knowing or developing of knowing, bhavatabha. With development of the practice the yogi knows the arising and vanishing of phenomena as dukkha. This penetration of dukkha is vijnana knowing. Actually, these two kinds of knowing are inseparable. They are working together. Talk 4. The importance of vedana. Many yogis stuck at dukkha vedana, painful feeling. Their practice did not develop because they did not understand vedana or contemplated it in the wrong way. This is reacting to vedana wrongly with unwise attention. One also cannot overcome it with wrong view. Should not contemplate on vedana, dukkha, in the unbearable way. It seems to be without understanding of how to contemplate, only advanced yogis and very few overcome it, e.g., the Ingu Sayadaw mentioned above. He was a very rough character and a tough guy as layman with the strong determination of that I would die if Kalesa not died. There are four faults if dealing with dukkha vedana unbearably. Dukkha vedana becomes stronger. 2. Samadhi falls down. 3. Wanting it to disappear, i.e., tanha. 4. Vedana covering the mind and delusion, moha, comes in, and does not know one's situation. If it becomes unbearable with dukkha vedana, change the posture with mindfulness, sati. In this way, samadhi is not destroyed with the meditation. The yogi only knowing of vedana is satipatthana, knowing of the arising dharma, and concept does not disappear. For example, if we ask someone, whose pain is it? He will answer as my pain. Seeing impermanent, arising and vanishing, becomes bhavana, satipatthana bhavana. Talk 5. There are two kinds of khandhas. Original khandha, the body, 2. Arising khandha. It can be called the concept khandha and paramatta khandha. The yogi has to contemplate the arising khandha. If one does not overcome the pains when dukkha vedanas arise, the mind also becomes painful because we mix up the two khandhas. We see the pains with normal eye. This is seeing with self-view, atatho anupasati. Have to contemplate the arising khandha with knowledge eye, Nanai. When discern Anicca, only the body is aching and not affecting the mind. The mind can bear with the painful feeling. Sayadaw gave a simile for it. Dropping a stone into the lake, and it goes down to the bottom. After it reaching to the bottom, water bubbles are rising up to the surface one by one. When we are looking at each of a bubble arising to the surface, and it will burst open and disappear. If we look at all the air bubbles inside the water, they are mixed together. We cannot see them separately from each other as we can on the surface of the water. Continuity of the concept creates solidity and permanence. When the yogi discerns Anicca, at that moment the contemplating mind becomes upekkha. This is a middle way, not reacting as, like or dislike. Talk 6. Aramana, object, Vedana, feelings, and how to deal with them, i.e., sukha and dukkha. The physical body, rupakhanda, has the nature of rupati, which means to be deformed, afflicted, disturbed, oppressed, broken, or it changes. When it is changed, dukkha vedana arises. The mind goes and feels it dukkha. Without getting rid of the concept, it becomes unbearable. The yogi can contemplate with upekkha, will not go and feel it with dukkha vedana. It becomes only upekkha vedana because of seeing Anicca. This is called equanimity of insight, vipassanupekkha. It is difficult to see this kind of refined vedana. It cannot be free from concept if seeing it as sukha and dukkha, to the arising pleasant and unpleasant feelings. Likewise, it is only in satipatthana and it becomes satipatthana bhavana by seeing Anicca. All these teachings are mentioned in the commentaries. Therefore, if one has not studied them, one should not blindly criticize them only from one's own point of view. Some Westerners even reject the teachings of Abhidhamma completely on the basis of a little second-hand knowledge, without having studied them, which is a very extreme approach. Only those who have really studied the commentaries and the teachings of Abhidhamma will know their value. Talk 7. It needs to differentiate between the concept, panati, and reality, paramatta. There are two signs, nimittas, 1. Samadhi sign and 2. Satipatthana nimitta. Sayadaw explained with the simile of rain drops fall on the water surface. For example, the nostril and air are concepts while contemplating on the in-breath and out-breath. The arising phenomena of these two contacts, such as warmness, coolness, etc., are paramatta dharma or rupa paramatta, the reality of form. Head, body, hand, feet, etc. are concepts, and forms, rupa, arise on them are paramatta, the direct experience of the four elements, such as coolness, warmness, etc. The heart is concept, and the minds arise on the heart are paramatta, such as feeling, vedana, perception, sanna, volition, etc. With the above simile, the water surface is like the concept when raindrops fall on it and the arising bubbles are like paramatta. Every time when paramatta dharma arises, knowing it is samadhi nimitta and knowing the passing away of it is satipatthana nimitta. Behind all these words there are delicate and profound meanings which are good for contemplation. The water surface of body, head, hand, etc. does not disappear, only the bubbles of paramatta dharmas, disappear. Talk 8. During the contemplation, the importance of letting go the concepts. There are some concepts coming in during the contemplation, such as compactness, shapes, solidity, continuity, noting, making notes. With the noting concepts which cover up the reality, paramatta dharma. The yogi cannot see clearly of the anicca will only end up with satipatthana and not become satipatthana bhavana. Because anicca and magga are not fitting together. The arising and vanishing dharma is happening quicker than the noting process that it comes in later, i.e., the contemplation mind. With the disappearance of the concept by observing the arising dharma will see anicca. If the yogi still seeing the particles of form or shape, it was still not free from the concepts. Talk 9. 1. With the happiness of samadhi and the disappearance of the body. 2. The disappearance of the body and the intrinsic khandhas or dharma khandhas. 3. Two ways of the disappearance of the intrinsic khandhas. 1. With the happiness of samadhi. Developing of samadhi by watching the breath, i.e., anapanasati, or focused contemplation on the arising dharma, the yogi attains samadhi. Because of samadhi, the whole body or some parts of it disappear. At that time, the yogi does not have dukkha vedana and can contemplate it with happiness. 2. The disappearance of the body and the intrinsic khandhas or dharma khandhas. If the yogi can contemplate the arising khandhas without fail, both of the body and dharma body disappeared or all the concepts disappeared. All concepts refer to body and dharma khandhas. 3. Two ways of the disappearance of the intrinsic khandhas. 2 ways of the disappearance of the dharma khandha. Disappearance of the khandha without knowing. Disappearance of the khandha with knowing. Without knowing, the yogi contemplates the arising khandhas and instantly lost his sati, i.e., the mind flicks away. And after sati coming back, he does not see the dharma khandha. Another possibility is yogi's contemplating mind comes in late, and he does not see the arising khandha. This means anicca and magga not fit in together. This was reminded by Mogik Sayadaw very often. With knowing, the yogi discerns anicca or it fits in with magga, anicca, magga. All the concepts disappeared. Body concepts and the names of the khandha concept disappeared. Talk 10. 7 factors of enlightenment, Boijunga. When people are sick, they look for something to rely on, because they want to cure the oppressive diseases. There is dharma, we can rely on it, not by listening only. You have to try on the khandha dharma to become the Boijunga dharma. There are 7 Boijunga dharma. 1. Mindfulness. 2. Discrimination of phenomena. 3. Persistent effort. 4. Rapture. 5. Tranquility. 6. Concentration. 7. Equanimity. Mindfulness, discrimination of phenomena, persistent and concentration are the 4 working factors of enlightenment, Karaka Samboijunga. With these 4 factors of completion, rapture, tranquility and equanimity will arise by themselves. Without completion of the first 4 factors will not get it. We must know that it is not right with the first 4 factors if the last 3 factors does not arise. There is sati samboijunga every time with the knowing of the arising phenomenon. For examples, every time vedana arises, mind arises, etc. The yogi knows it. When the yogi observes the arising phenomenon, he will see the change of from its existence to non-existence. For examples, vedana arises, after it arises and see it's not existing. Every time the object of contemplation arises, observing with nana and seeing the arising and vanishing or birth and death. These khandhas are called guest khandhas. Because it does not exist all the time. The knowledge of seeing anicca is called the factor of discrimination of phenomena. Dharma Vikaya Boijunga. Every time dharma arises with the persistent effort to discern impermanence is Viriya Boijunga. At the moment of discernment of anicca, the mind not running away anywhere and calmly staying with the object is samadhi, Boijunga. If the yogi can contemplate Anicca with stability, rapture, tranquility and equanimity will complete slowly. If not developing then mindfulness, discrimination, persistent effort and samadhi, any one of them is lacking. Rapture, piti boijunga, will arise if four of them can work together successfully. The mind is free from defilements, i.e., the hindrances, nivarana, by discerning of anicca, then rapture starts arising. Five kinds of rapture arise successively. These are kudaka piti, minor rapture, gooseflesh starts arising, the hairs on the skin stand up so that it is covered with tiny bumps. It is very weak and quick that some yogis know about them, but some are not. With kudaka piti increasing and it leads to kanika piti, momentary rapture, arises so that the hairs on the skin stand up longer and clearer with tiny bumps. Here which the yogi has to be careful is the process happening longer does not mean it was stable. It means becoming clearer. Piti also arises and vanishes with continuing. With more increasing of piti. Akantika piti, showering rapture, arises, and it breaks over the body repeatedly in surges, like one is riding on a chair in the Ferris wheel. With the increasing of piti which leads to abhiga piti, uplifting rapture, arises. It was like the experience of riding on a wave going up and down. The body becomes light and moving up from the floor. From here it develops to farana piti, pervading rapture. The yogi can sit longer and with happiness in mind and body. It was like a cotton soaked with full of oil and no painful feeling anymore. Every yogi arriving at this stage has fondness in the Dharma. It continues to develop arriving at five passadhi, tranquility, mind and body become happy and peaceful. Because it does not have the fire of greed and anger of defilements. Yogi who arrives to this stage making more effort in the practice, and he does not want to mix with anyone. He has joy and pleasure in his own Dharma. With more development than that, the yogi arrives at seven apekka samboijunga, equanimity. The yogi can contemplate anicca with equanimity as a stranger, at that time the diseases in the body are cured. Lobha fire and dosa fire are extinguished and yogi feels quite happy at that moment. This is not nibbana yet, very close to it now. If we are arriving at this stage and can imagine the great happiness of nibbana. Talk 11. The seven purifications, signposts of Dharma development. I will talk about the signposts of Dharma development so that yogis can know one's level of the practice. These levels of signposts of Dharma are 1. Keeping and looking after one's sila. This is sila visuddhi. 2. Pay attention on the in-breath and out-breath at the nostril or contemplate on the arising kanda in the body. If the mind not running away anywhere and staying with the objects of contemplation, then the yogi gets samadhi. The mind is free from the hindrances and purified. This is citta visuddhi. 3. Contemplation of the in-breath and out-breath at the nostril and discern the warmness, coolness, etc. of the physical sensations is discerning of form, rupa. Contemplation of the physical sensations arising in the body such as pain, numbness, aches, etc. is discerning of form, rupa. The nature of rupa is afflicted, change, deformed, etc. If the yogi can contemplate these rupa dharma, identity view sakaya ditthi falls away by practice. If the yogi can contemplate the knowing mind, consciousness, vedana, feeling of their arising Dharma Sakaya Ditthi falls away by practice. This is the yogi's discerning of mind and form and purification of view, Ditthi Visuddhi. 4. Purification by overcoming doubt Kankavitarana Visuddhi. Mind and form dharmas are not arisen by themselves, i.e., causeless. It is also not by any creator, i.e., God or Mahabrahma. It's arisen by natural causes or conditioning by natural causes. For an example, when with breathing the air is going in and out from the nostril. Here the physical sensitivity around the nostril is sense door, vara, the air element is object, aram or aramana, and their contact is fasa. By these three causes the knowing mind consciousness arises. 5. If the yogi discern of each arising of mind and form and their passing away, it is the purification of the path and not path, magamaga nanadasana visuddhi. The purification of the process starting from 1 to 5 can be known and achieved with the help of a teacher. Therefore, a qualified and skillful teacher is very important for a yogi. Mogik Sayadawgyi was such kind of teacher. His teachings or talk are very helpful in practice and profound understanding of Dharma. 6. From here the yogi persistently continues to contemplate Anicca will arrive to the level of equanimity to all Sankhara Dukkha, conditioned Dukkha. This is purification of the way, Patipada Nana Dasana Visuddhi. 7. From here the yogi continues his effort with the practice and all the impermanence, Anicca, come to the end. Then the yogi sees the ending of Dukkha which is Nibbana. This is purification by knowledge and vision, Nanadasana Visuddhi. Talk 12. The 10 corruptions of insight, Vipassanupakkalesa, Vipassanupakkalesa. Every yogi is bound to encounter these corruptions. In these processes, one must not be carried away by them. In the insight process, the objects of contemplation do not have body, form, shape and particles. The Paramatta Dharmas are arising and passing away. If the yogi can discern impermanence, there are no body, head, hands, feet, forms and signs, nimittas, with it. Whatever the kanda arises, if the yogi sees only its arising and vanishing, his mind will be purified from defilement. The contemplating mind becomes clear. There are not much to talk about the fifth purification of path and not path. When the yogi arrives at the knowledge of rising and fall of mind and matter, Udaya Abhaya Nana, the 10 insight corruptions appear. These are anora, obasa, rapture, piti, tranquility, pasadi, resolution, adimokkha, exertion, pagaha, happiness, sukha, knowledge, nana, mindfulness, sati, equanimity, apekka, and attachment, nikanti. If a yogi gets lost in any one of them and become an obstacle to the progress. Because the yogi takes it as the attainment and stops the practice. Then, Sayadaw Punnananda mentioned them in his talk on the 7 purifications. Every yogi must encounter any of these phenomena. The important point is they should not get lost in these processes. In the inside processes, there are no appearing of bodily form and particles. Paramatta dharmas are arising and passing away by itself and with insight defilement, kalesa, is purified. The mind becomes clear and bright that one aura or light comes out from the body. If samadhi is strong, it also has light. If you encounter them, do not think about them and not take pleasure in them. Otherwise, the practice will go down. by not taking an interest in them and continue with the impermanent process will overcome the problem. 2. Sharp knowledge. At the beginning of vipassana practice, it was led by samadhi, so that knowing them with concepts whatever arises. This was the task of satipatthana. Sometimes if the yogi discerned impermanence, the contemplative mind had 5 path factors, sati, viriya, samadhi, samadhi and samasankappa. This period was very short. After that, samadhi led the process again. In these ways, sometimes led by samadhi and sometimes became knowledge, discern anicca. And then sati became strong. Sometimes the mind is clear and sometimes not. When it is clear, will discern impermanence. If not, clear, only know the arising phenomena with concepts. This level is still led by samadhi. With samadhi, the yogi develops step by step and only seeing anicca. This is led by discernment, jnana or knowledge. And then, knowledge becomes pure and sharper. With the better and sharper knowledge, the yogi cannot discern anicca as separating one by one. Instead, the yogi sees the passing away as a whole. When seeing anicca with the strong power of mind or sharp knowledge and he takes it as attainment. At that time, the yogi able to contemplate whatever coarse, middle, refined phenomena without failure. The yogi can take pleasure in it. With pleasure, his knowledge declines. 3. Rapture, piti. The important point here is whatever the yogi encounters, he can solve the problem. Whatever type of contemplation we do or try when discerning anicca, all phenomena, body, feeling, mind and dharma, a dharma arising and dharma passing away. Only sankhara, all conditioned things or the 5 khandhas, arises and sankhara passes away. With the mind clear and pure, zest appears. And then the yogi cannot discern anicca, which is covered up by rapture. With strong respect on the 3 treasures, Tirathana, i.e., Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, rapture can arise. With the pervading rapture, Pharana Piti, which is the Piti in jhana attainment, the yogi cannot see impermanence. Without seeing anicca, the yogi thinks it as the ending of anicca, which is nibbana. At that time, knowledge went down. Even some yogis have tears come out. Instantly when rapture arises if he can contemplate it and no problem arises. If not, the yogi takes it as the path knowledge and stops the contemplation. 4. Tranquility, passivity, mind and body become tranquil. Any one of the 10 corruptions can arise to the yogi. These things are sure to arise for yogis. If not, encounter any of them, the mind still not mature yet. After the encounter, it and cannot solve them the yogi will far from nibbana. Normally people are burning with the fire of defilement such as greed, ill will, delusion, sorrow, etc. The mind is not peaceful. In the same way the body is oppressing by diseases and pains. But when the yogi discerning anicca with the strong power mind, he can bear all the pains with equanimity. When the mind and body become tranquil, the mind can fall into one-pointedness, ekagata. Then the yogi cannot hear any external sounds. And no external object disturbs the mind. It is peaceful. At that time, anicca disappears and the mind sinks in the tranquility and take it as the path knowledge. Each yogi experience is not the same. If the yogi can contemplate the arising fake dharma, i.e., any of the 10 corruptions, then contemplate its anicca. If not, neglecting it and continue with one's contemplation. 5. Happiness, sukha. From tranquility, it progresses to the level of happiness, then the yogi can maintain the posture for a very long time. Without any pain and aching, the mind feels happiness. At that time, sukha replaces anicca and the yogi misses anicca. Also, the yogi does not contemplate the arising happiness that knowledge falls. 6. Resolution or faith, adimokkha. With the well-discerning of anicca better and better, faith increases, i.e., in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. The whole body becomes cool and happy. This cool and happiness come from the faith which covers up anicca. So, anicca disappears and the yogi took it as the attainment. With faith, if happiness arises, the yogi should not lose sati and contemplate the arising happiness as anicca. Or without paying attention to it and continue with one's practice. There are two ways to solve the problems. Contemplate the coming incorruptions as anicca or neglect it by contemplating one's meditation object. Therefore, in all these situations, sati is very important. 7. Exertion, pagaha or viriya. With the progress in the practice, the yogi can contemplate without any difficulty with happiness. So, exertion increases and the mind with high spirit. Every time he puts effort and not to miss the point. At that time, he could sink in the exertion and forgot anicca. This is taking pleasure in exertion. 8. Mindfulness, sati. At that time, i.e., inside corruptions period, mindfulness always fell on the object and became very strong whatever dharma arises. It is the kind of heedful mindfulness that the yogi does not lost his sati even in a dream. If taking pleasure in strong mindfulness, he will miss anicca. Therefore, always alert with sati without letting go of anicca whatever dharma arises, i.e., do not change the object and not get lost in pleasure. 9. Equanimity, apekkha. Whatever dharma arises, it can be contemplated with equanimity. The yogi also can attach to this state and take it as attainment. 10. Attachment, nikanti. All the above 9 dharmas, light, obasa, to equanimity themselves, are not defilement, kalesa. The problem is the attachment to all these fake dharmas, i.e., nikanti. These are significantly refined dharmas and the signs of progress in practice. Every yogi must encounter them, not all. The problem here is the yogi's attachment or pleasure in them. It is nikanti or tana. Therefore, it could hinder the yogi's practice if they trapped him. So, be careful to the refined and subtle experiences with strong and alert mindfulness. Here I want to include the same points on anicca mentioned by Dharmaramsi Sayadaw U. Sunanda in some of his talks. It will be helpful to the yogi in the discernment of anicca. Discerning of anicca is vipassana, which can be differentiated generally into two kinds, one immature or weak insight, taruna vipassana, and two mature or strong insight vipassana, arida vipassana. The yogi primary vipassana object is the breath sensations at the nostril. In the beginning of contemplation on anicca, yogi discerns the anicca of coarser objects and not the refined ones. Because his sati and samadhi are weak. If any secondary coarser objects arise at somewhere in the body, he has to contemplate them and then go back to the primary object, breath sensation. This is taruna vipassana. Continue from the taruna vipassana when sati and samadhi become stronger, yogi starting to feel the sensations of the heart beat at the chest area. The yogi then shifts his attention from the nostril area to the chest area where the heartbeat is felt and contemplate there. It becomes the primary object, From there the yogi contemplates whatever dharma arises in the body. Because of the strong sati and samadhi, the yogi sees more and more anicca, and it is difficult for the yogi to follow them where it arises. Instead of following him everywhere, he should pay attention at the heart. He knows everything about them. Maybe this is the reason commentary mentioned the mind door as Hadayavathu. Thai forest teachers also mentioned this point. The yogi should be aware that if the whole body is seen as anicca through contemplation, then the concept of the whole body disappears and the yogi becomes frightened by focusing on his or her own body. This concern makes him open his eyes and looking or checking his body. It will affect his practice by losing his anicca. We can see this in the case of Channa in the Sutta and in some of the present yogis. Some even stop their practice. I had heard a story that a Brahmin listened to the Dharma in the crowd by the Buddha. He discerned anicca in his body and became frightened. So he got up and ran back to his home. This was one of the key reasons why Mogik Sayadaw often reminded his listeners to dispel wrong view, ditthi, before practicing. Talk 13. Meditation with other postures. Lying down posture. When lying down, the person's back is in contact with the floor. As a result of these contacts, physical sensations such as tension, warmth, stiffness, etc., are arisen there. All these objects call for the contemplation of the yogi. It arises in the physical body that it is form dharma, rupa, and have to contemplate them. By knowing the arising dharma kalesa cannot come in. If mind and mental states arise, also have to contemplate them, such as thinking, planning, etc. These are mind dharma. It can also contemplate the in and out breath sensations or the sensations of rising and falling of the abdomen. Whatever experiences, the yogi has to contemplate them. Standing posture. When standing, don't let both legs touching together by losing sati can be fallen down. Both legs should be a little distance which can support the upper part of the body. Both hands should put on the side loosely. The yogi will have a more distinctive form, rupa, dharma in the area under the ankles, which supports the whole body. In the beginning, yogi can calm his mind by observing the in and out breaths. The body will show its nature of tension, stiffness, aches, pain, etc. At the beginning, yogi will know them with concepts together. The yogi will see their paramatta nature with a lot of contemplation. Nana mind will stay with its intrinsic nature. At first from the feet, legs, waist, body, etc. Will know the arising khandhas slowly. Contemplate in details all the arising dharmas. In the beginning, do the exercises at the ankles and toes area. With it slowly, the yogi will know the upper parts and the whole body. As nana develops, the yoga will become clear about the knowing of object, i.e., aramanas, and the knowing, i.e., mind. After that, the yogi can embrace it as a whole to know it. If he has this knowledge, then it is of value to the yogi. In walking posture, every step has to be mindful. In this way, in the beginning, every step has awareness. At the touching places of feet and the floor, the yoga will know the nature of form, rupa. Stepping the left and right feet have to know them. If every step becoming clear, let us continue forwards. This time every step will contemplate the three stages, lifting knowing, stepping knowing and putting down knowing with each step, etc. When lifting the foot, one must know where the heel and the tip of the foot is being lifted. In these places the yogi will know that the nature of form, rupa, is heaviness, lightness, t- tightness, looseness, etc. The yogi will know any one of them. Every stepping also will know the lightness, heaviness. Now I am talking with the concept because it is the beginning of Satipatthana practice. The yogi will know then with concepts. If the mind becomes clear with knowledge, Nana, yogi will know their Paramatta nature. When stepping down the foot and putting down, the yogi will know one of the followings as roughness, hardness, tenseness, warmness, etc. You have to know them whatever is arising. At walking meditation, the yogi contemplates the nature of form, rupa, and when he discerns its nature, paramatta, he is free from the identity view, sakkaya ditthi. After being able to contemplate successfully the three stages above, continue with the following stages. In every footstep, the mind wanting to lift the foot will arise first, for this arising mind have to contemplate at the chest area, i.e., heart area. When lifting the foot, because the mind of wanting to lift it that in the leg will see the movement of the air element. Yogi also will see the nature of material phenomena, rupa, at the ankle and the tip of the foot with their arising and passing away. At the places of moving forwards and stepping down the foot, yogi has to observe them as mentioned above. Where the feet move forwards and step down, the yogi is to observe them as described above. When he reaches the place of stopping, he has to contemplate the mind that wants to stop. At the time of turning the body, practice in the same way. If the practitioner can contemplate in more detail, the kilesas will become less and less with practice. It makes one's knowledge become stronger. Here I present Sayadaw U. Punnananda's teaching on Vipassana practice is not promoting a system. Let the readers to have the view of how to use Mogik Sayadaw's talks in our practice. There is another reason. This is for a newcomer and some Buddhists who want to try it out for themselves. It was very interesting to see Kamatthana Kariyas who followed the same tradition, but their styles of teaching had differences. Anyhow, the basic outlines were the same. Mogik Sayadaw's Dharma talks did not represent any particular systems of practice. He explained the Sutta teachings on practice with his own experience and wisdom. Sometimes he also used some commentarial materials to explain them for clarification. If we contemplate on his Vedananupassana and Sittanupassana, even these cannot be called a system. It was directly related to the suttas. We can see its source in the Salayatana Samyutta, especially the Kimsuka Tree Discourse, SN 35. 245 Kimsukopamasutam. There a bhikkhu approached the first arahant to ask how he purified his mind. The arahant's answer was, a monk understood as they really were the arising and vanishing of the six bases for contact, in this way his vision was purified. The six sense bases and the six sense objects are related to all, the internal and external phenomena, the world. It includes everything except Nibbana. In the same way, Mogik Dharma embraces all systems and methods. Another very important factor is that all these teachings are based on Dha, Patthikasamapada, which relates to all religions, whether Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, Muslim, etc., and to all human races, whether yellow-skinned, white-skinned, brown-skinned, etc. Even I know some Burmese meditation teachers who do not belong to the Mogik traditions using Sayadawji's Dharma talks in their training of yogis. They are very successful and become well-known, e.g., Ven. Adhikaram C., Sun Elwin, whose practice related to Yu Bar Kin or Saya Thet, and Maya Sain Tang Sayadaw U. Janiya, whose practice related to Mahasi Sayadaw. Mogik Sayadaw had some Dharma skills of which were very similar to two great disciples of the Buddha. These two great disciples were Panna Mantaniputta and Mahakakana. The quality of his Dharma talks is very similar to the Dharma of these two great disciples. Therefore, every Buddhist, if they have the chance to study, reflect and put into practice, will have great benefit for them. Here I do not refer it to my translation, which does not represent his whole teaching. It is only for practical purpose. For great benefit it needs to translate the full talk, i.e., 1 hour each talk. To achieve this purpose, we have to use the transcribed talks in book volumes. It also included other essence of Dharma, representing the Dharma treasures of Dharma nectar. I have no doubt that if someone reads and reflects on Mogik Sayadaw's talk many times, it will plant the seeds of wisdom faculty which will be latent in his, her heart now and in the days to come. It is for sure that will lead to the ending of dukkha. In the beginning I have mentioned that the Buddha's teaching on mind development is not to do evil, to do good and purify the mind. It is important for all humans, whatever their belief systems, races and cultural background, have to develop them, especially the Buddhists. These are representing the three levels of human, good human, wise human and noble human. The opposites are bad, foolish, stupid human, unwise, inferior human and ignoble human. I hope nobody wants to become a negative person like rats and cockroaches and disgusted by everyone. Now that we have still encountered Buddha Dharma, we should not miss the opportunity to develop our minds. To achieve this, we must never forget the Buddha's final exhortation. Vayadharma Sankara, Appamadina Sampadeva. Decline and disappearance is the nature of all conditions. Therefore, strive on ceaselessly, discerning and alert.